Samela Yanulotumlinsi. Samela.
Welcome to iMother Podcast.
Samela Yanulotumlinsi. Samela.
My name is Silja Nikolina Runestadter Kvalheim, and I am your host. iMother Podcast is a fellowship for and by women to share wisdom, experiences, and resources around birth and motherhood, and about resurrecting the soul after times of darkness. iMother is a term that derived in Sapmi, about traditional midwives and medicine women. A woman who could look into the souls of birthing women and hold space for her. She was a guide into the unknown in both birth as well as death, a priestess of transformations of the soul. I am a mother, birth worker, and light worker, and my sole work on this planet is to help women in and after birth to be wild and true and own their bodies and their stories. By sharing our wisdom and our stories, I believe we create a world for our children where women are supported, empowered, and held. In the background, you're hearing Mari Boina, together with Madosini. Welcome to iMother. Hello, friends. I hope you all are doing good in these strange and a bit challenging times to be human in. There's so much going on the planet today. And at least for me, a big thing to practice is keeping centered and trust. Autonomous in heart, body, and spirit. We've had a few hectic weeks on the house building side of life, but now we can see the house that we built with our own hands sit in the landscape and hunger for us to smell the soil and put seeds in her. I can't wait to start the garden process. I feel like I've been swimming in clay and mud for months now, and I am so hungry for colors and life. I can't wait to start creating a beautiful garden with flowers, medicine plants, vegetables, and magical trees and symbols. What a dream. What a life. Today, folks, I am excited to introduce to you William Green, my first male guest on this podcast. William is the creator of Masculine Medicine, a deep and insightful platform for men who are journeying into the realms of fatherhood. I heard William speak on one of Rochelle's online platforms, where William was invited to share his experience on this topic. I was listening with my husband, and it was really potent and true. Thanks to Rochelle for sharing all these knowledgeable and wise people into my life and now your lives. In this interview, we are speaking about men, their roles in birth and postpartum, and their hero journey into maturity and fatherhood. In these times, the realms of birth are changing. Birth has always been women's work, through most times and in most cultures. Women support women in birth through their innate wisdom as nurturers and through their own experience of birth and motherhood. Their wisdom of birth runs in their veins and in their bones. No matter where, most women, if willing, can access this wisdom through their lineages, as it has been the reality for women always. Men, however, are new to this role, and not only as individuals, but also collectively. There is little, if no, traces of this wisdom in their lineages. They are asked lovingly to support and hold space for their women, when they are even more new to this role than their partners. I think this work that William is doing, guiding men into the threshold of fatherhood, is important. It is important in the times we live in, important for the moms, the men, the collective, and the growth and expansion of humanity as autonomous and sacred beings. Here is William's bio. William Green has a background in psychology and religious studies with a degree from the College of Charleston. He's a certified health and wellness coach and a practitioner of the Rolfe method of structural integration. He's a father of three children and a grandfather to his one-year-old grandson. William has spent over 25 years directly and indirectly supporting doulas and midwives. Through these roles of support, his experience as a father, and his training in healing modalities, he's now turning his attention to supporting men in our current times of change. And again, folks, sadly, the recording has its challenging moments in regards to my internet connection, but I believe and hope you can still find joy in listening. My apologies for that. It is with deep honor and deep respect of William's work that I share this interview with you all. Enjoy. William Green, welcome to iMother Podcast. I'm happy to have you here.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It's an honor.
I thought we'd just start a bit with maybe you can tell us a bit about yourself, where you live and who you are and what you do.
Sure. I currently live in Houston, Texas, and I, by profession, for the past 5.5 years, I am a Rolfe practitioner. And anyone who's not familiar with that, it is a form of body work, therapeutic body work. And that is a new career for me. For my previous career, I actually was a custom home builder. And I got into that because I needed to feed my family. this current career I'm in, I feel like I've picked up threads of my past and feel like I'm actually in the current of the work that I am here to do. And, I almost look at this very integrated with who I am at my core, I guess. And that this chapter includes parts of my life that were there in the previous chapters, of course. I am a father of three adult children and a grandfather. So I have that thread of life that I carry with me each day. And it's been a big learning experience being a father, the greatest of my life, I think. And that experience and the work that I'm doing now led me to begin this new project that I call Masculine Medicine. And it really is all about supporting men in these times of change. I've watched the mother of my children and my wife now find a lot of support within the feminine and go to workshops and be part of groups. And it dawns on me that men don't really have that type of support. And I started thinking about what that would look like and decided to create a platform that can support men in their journey. Mm-hmm. And as I'm starting this work, I am focusing right now on fatherhood. It is such a potent time for men, and there's a lot of, I don't want to say confusion, but just a lot of, you know, it really is. It's confusion within the masculine, I feel like, because birth brings up so many things in our culture, and our culture has shifted so much over time that I feel like men are being called to participate in the realm of birth in a way that they haven't in human history before. Mm. And this can bring up a lot of interesting situations for men and for families.
Mm. Yeah, and it's compared. I was speaking to a friend of mine about this because, like, I think there's a lot of women out there who's speaking about their men and their participation or non-participation in birth. But then again, it's like this with women, we have this experience through lineages, throughout times that we have been birthing, and this has been the work of women. But for men, it's a whole different scenario, because where are the men, like, drawing down this wisdom from, really?
Yeah, you're right. You know, I always look back to indigenous culture and imagine that cares in us and how far our society has now strayed from what an indigenous culture would look like. So we've isolated ourselves in terms of family systems. Family dynamics are much different. Group dynamics are much different. You know, we have the nuclear family and everyone has their own home and their own schedule, and there is a sense of isolation. So the idea of the village has really fallen apart over time. Mm. And I think that with that idea, women are in their nuclear family, the partner, the father, for support that typically they would have gotten from the other women in their village. Mm. And that really brings up this core disharmony, because birth has been women's work for thousands of years. Mm. And now men are being invited into the realm of birth. But as I share in my class, men have no template for what that support looks like.
Yeah.
So men are having to learn as they go. Mm. And, you know, the other piece is that our culture has not supported men as emotional beings. Men don't typically share their feelings the way women do. And therefore, they aren't transmitting a certain level of information to each other. Mm. So the men that have us aren't necessarily sharing that information with other men. So we're continuing to isolate ourselves. And that's what I'm trying to slice through in the masculine. Mm.
That's really, like, deep work and really important work. And I'm just really, you know, that experience of having, I remember that from my own birth, I even had a midwife who was speaking to me a lot about, you know, preparing for the postpartum timing and creating a village for yourself. And even though you have people telling you that, it's like, yeah, but I have my husband. So all the weight is put on the husband in these families. And because that's what we're used to, even though that's totally like forgetting how history has gone about. But anyways, it's a humongous responsibility. And the man, he almost has to eliminate himself.
Yeah,
to
it can be...
Go ahead, William.
Oh, I was just agreeing with you. Really, it's very important, obviously, to cultivate that layer of support within the family system, and there's also an idea of layers of support, and so we have to also keep in mind that as the father supports mom and baby also need another layer of support aside from father, and father is also going to need support.
Yeah.
And so again, we have a hole. We typically don't see fathers getting that direct support that they need. And I think it comes back to the idea I spoke of a minute ago about a lack of sharing of information between men.
Yeah.
I think that it comes from our Western culture of, it's almost a misguided sense of competition. It's the father that Mike or, you know, sports related, whatever it is, that idea that we're separate and there's going to be a winner and a loser has cultivated this separateness in the masculine. And we need to break through that so that men can actually get the support they need from each other.
William, would you share a bit about like your own personal journey into fatherhood and how you were able to be for your for your woman at the through the births of your children?
Sure. I was just out of college when I found out my wife at the time and I were going to have a baby. So 22 years old and terrified. But I put on my bootstraps and, you know, I feel like I'm always the type of person that just kind of puts my head down and does what needs to be done. And it was a very, looking back on it now, a very trying time. We had planned a home birth, which ended up as an emergency C-section. And that added to the stress of the postpartum time and to the stress of our life. I think short term and long term, but we made it through, and She had a successful VBAC at home with our second, and then a home water birth with our third. And there was a lot of healing in those births that came after the first. And they each had their own healing aspects to them. And I think that when I was in each of those moments, it almost was surreal. They were the most stressful days of my life, because you're out of control. You feel like you're out of control. You can't control the situation. So there is another level of trust and prayer that ends up happening, whether you realize it or not. And as a student of psychology and religious studies, the nature of reality and our experience in this life really helped me get through those times and be supportive. And I was winging it. I was always winging it. I was the only one of my crew of friends that was embarking on the journey of fatherhood at the time. We lived in a very rural town, so there was not a lot of, there weren't a lot of resources. And this was 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. So the birth movement was still burgeoning in a way, I feel like. I mean, I know that it's been happening for a long time, but when I look around now, there's so much more support and so much more information. And I think part of that is through the internet. But back then, it was more challenging to get information that was other than the status quo or what the hospital was feeding you. And so my partner at the time was a newbie midwife, home birth midwife, and through her work during that time and over the course of our 23-year relationship, I was a soundboard for her, downloading and just processing her work, her birth work. And I just heard a lot of stories, and common themes would come up. And it helped me understand what I went through or what I might be going through as a father was not really that unusual. It just felt lonely. And I think that all of that really brought me to this work that I'm doing now.
Thank you for sharing that, William. It's a really powerful journey. My husband also became a father at the same age. And you take on a responsibility quite young when everyone else is sort of flying about and having fun. And it's quite a change of life. Are you hearing me all right, William? Oh yeah, there you are.
It is it's interesting to watch some of my friends who are new fathers, and I think that it all unfolds as it should, and we get the teachings that we're meant to get, depending on the timing of things. And there wasn't when our second one was born, there wasn't a roll of toilet paper in the house, and we were financially struggling. But we had so much in other aspects of life, and what I feel like is important. And I see how some families have all of the financial things, but there's something else missing. Mm-hmm. And it speaks to, again, these cultural beliefs, and I think it also speaks to relationship dynamics. I think once we had in a family, the dynamics of the relationship between birth of a child, mom and dad, become amplified. Whether that's the dynamics have positive and negative aspects, every relationship does. But I feel like if there's things between mom and dad that are unresolved or haven't been fully explored, they become a foundation, so to speak, in parenting dynamic.
Yeah, you know, you're it's like this whole change that happens on all of these levels. It's like there's so much of it that is unspoken in the times that we live in for moms and families and dads, because it's such a massive change, and you're sort of served this like fairy tale image of it being like, you know, you just had a child and how amazing is that? But if you really like have the space within yourself to feel these things dying in you and these things like birthing in you, it's massive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And go ahead.
I was just agreeing. It brings up a lot. It can bring up a lot that one didn't realize was even there.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking, like, at least for a mom, you have these 9 months to really get you in, to really like land you in your own physical being and spiritual being to welcome this new being. So you have this whole period where you're really preparing for what it is to come. But then, like, and the dad is there and he's having a kid, and then boom, the kid is there. And how does that work in the heart and the mind of a man? Like, I would be freaking out if that was me.
Yeah, this is something that is kind of a foundational piece of awareness that I discuss in my work with fathers. It's for fathers to be, men have no physiological cues as to the life changes that are getting ready to happen. Baby obviously is developing its entire physical structure in preparation to enter this world. And mother is going through hormonal changes and physical changes while baby's growing. And nothing's happening for dad. So it is about embracing the idea that fatherhood begins at conception, that I try to convey to the men I'm working with. And it's about utilizing those 9 months in self-preparation and in awareness with himself and his partner, so that once the birth happens, he's not playing catch up with where mom and baby are. Yeah. And this is, it's a lot of self-work that I am guiding these men through. It's nothing that you can go out and buy and install or put on your shelf. It takes effort, and it's hard. If it was easy, I think men would be doing it already. And it's, part of it is knowing what to look for. And I feel like I've developed a process that works. But the other piece is this piece of self-responsibility. And I think that if men can embrace this idea of, I am a father, even though my baby is not born yet, I am already a father, and I am going to start practicing this new level of responsibility, which really, being a father is, yes, it's about providing and protecting, but this inner work is where true fatherhood comes from. And so I feel like getting them started on the right foot can make a world of difference.
Yeah, I really feel that work. It's just really landing in my heart when you speak about that, because it's it must be, I mean, even for a woman, it can be quite lonely, you know, that journey, because it's so tangible, you know. And I can just imagine for a man, and maybe you have never had this fellowship, and you have never even, you know, you have no one to speak to emotionally about these things. It must be quite like an effort to get into that work.
Yeah, I've seen that the men who are coming to this work have either they already have a child, and they see, or their friends, someone they know has gone through some turmoil with either the birth process or postpartum time, and they're wanting to rectify that or make sure it doesn't happen to them. And I also see men who are directed to the work by their partner, and even women gifting the course to their partners. And that's beautiful too. And it's, I think that nudge, whether it is your own experience or witnessing someone else's, or having someone you love say, "Hey, I need you to do this." It's potent. It's important. And it's one of those moments that I think as men, we can either, accept that help and see it as a gift, or as opposed to thinking of it as someone being pushy or telling us what we should or shouldn't do. And it's about being open to a new way. You know, it's time for men to be open to a new way of thinking. Hmm. You know, this the movement of the feminine energy rising on the planet has, I feel like it's come to a point where now women can actually hold some space for men to begin to do their healing. Mm. And that is, I'm so grateful for that. It speaks to a strength and a leadership quality in the feminine to be able to do that. And I feel like that's what's happening when I get to be invited to you know, speak to you and your audience, and women are asking their partners to step up and do something that no one in their family has ever done before. Mm. You know?
Yeah, that's
beautiful.
Yeah, it's really beautiful, and it's so important. I mean, I really believe that that's how, you know, we can heal the planet. Like, you know, that we can really become our highest potential through this healing of before us and ahead of us, of our lineages.
Yes.
I was just curious if you can speak a bit about this change that happens for a man from conception and birth and into fatherhood, and how this actually shapes the dynamics of the family.
Yeah, well, I think it's you know, it's obviously looks different for everyone, but in terms of the work that I'm doing, and that kind of the roadmap, so to speak, that I lay out for the men that I'm working with, it's about self-awareness and tapping into feeling your emotions and letting yourself feel what needs to happen next. I think that as men, we tend to look at the world in a very linear way, and you know, it's like, give me a list of things I need to do and I'll get it done. Mm. That's very important and great, but it's also about feeling what needs to be done and having an emotional intelligence and understanding around the new family dynamic. So we do a lot of inner work in terms of tuning in and tapping into shutting off the mind and turning on the heart more. And we do work around getting in touch with our own birth story and picking out what kinds of primal wounds we might be carrying, mm, and how they might be affecting our life now, and how they could potentially affect our behavior or our response to something that will happen at the birth process, at the birth event, and in the postpartum time, and in the journey of being a father. And this is done through a couple of different methods. And then we talk about the nuts and bolts and the choices that might come up for the birth process, and what to look out for in the postpartum time, and how to tap into the inherent wisdom that men do have around family. And, you know, I talked earlier about the fact that men don't have this template for being birth supporters necessarily, but there are things such as, you know, this idea of protector and provider that are inherent to the masculine. And what does that look like? You know, is it just making sure there's a roof over the family's head and groceries in the refrigerator? There's more to it than that. There can be more depth to it than that as well. I think that helping men tap into their own emotional intelligence, being able to listen accurately to their partner, and being able to see what needs to happen without being asked really helps their partner feel supported. I think that many times we as men take care of the list and then we just wait for the next foot to drop and then start on that. So it makes a huge difference from what I've seen and what I've experienced if we can actually be supportive in other ways.
Yeah, I think, like, at least for me personally, this, even though, like, my husband has always been very supportive in many different ways and on many different layers, this, like, ultimately, this maturing within me, you know, into my knowing what I want and what I need and voicing my own experience of what I'm, you know, because my birth was a traumatic birth, so this whole, we had a huge journey together, and coming into a place where I can express my needs clearly, I can see very clearly that is it ripples. There's a ripple into him, as in him becoming aware of his own emotions to be able, like, to meet me in my need of intimacy or my need of support or being seen on that deeper level. Which is like a
absolutely,
yeah, it's just such a it, and then you really, my experience at least is that you're really, then you're in a place that is much more than what it was, like, it's much deeper and it's much more juicy. But it took really a lot of work to get into that space, and also, like, you know, a lot of talking about, like, what is that kind of support, like, what is the support that I want from him, like, what is that masculine support? And it's definitely something about this, like, holding space and providing this safe container, and I think maybe that's even, like, the most valuable thing that a man can support with, at least at birth, you know, and having this really safe and solid container for the woman.
Yeah, it's, yeah, just listening to you now, it made me think about, and I think that there is strength and vulnerability.
Yeah.
And the For the masculine to show vulnerability is again supported in our culture. So when we witness it, when we actually have an experience where a man shows his vulnerability in the family system, it actually, I feel like it strengthens the bond within the family system.
Yeah, absolutely. It's almost like, you know, instant almost.
Mm-hmm. And it is, it's intimacy. And, you know, intimacy in the postpartum time, that's a huge topic and issue for so many men. And really, I feel like that redirection of what is intimacy, yeah, and redefining it can bring a lot of healing and a lot of resolution to what is perceived to be an issue.
Yeah, that's not very much talked of, is it? I lost you there, William. I was just commenting that's not something that is spoken about a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that idea of, you know, when I use the term emotional intelligence, it includes this vulnerability. Because when we tap into our own emotional intelligence, change our partner. And I feel like that then creates space for sharing and being vulnerable to happen. And it is in a very interesting way, it almost is part of the support is just being that next level of human, so to speak,
yeah,
is really all that's needed. You know, it's getting in touch with this other layer that we don't necessarily live in our day-to-day life. Hmm. We put up our boundaries so we can navigate this world, this crazy world we live in. And it's about knowing when it's time to take the armor off. Mm. So that we can actually be in appropriate relation to the ones we love. Mm.
It's almost like it's interesting.
I think we all have.
Oh, go ahead.
You know, we all have different layers of this armor, you know. So I feel like that is, we start that prenatally and we learn to live with that for our entire life. So this process that I'm talking about is really an unfolding of the ability to take this armor off.
Yeah, and that's not something that is, like there's so many men in our times that have parents and their, generations back that never, that, so they, nobody taught them how to do that.
Yeah, it is a, I won't say it's a new idea, but I feel as if there is, now the frequency of our collective is changing. So in my work as a Rolf practitioner, physical bana, and in the work I do, we're tuning the antenna. So the fascia in our body is where the energetic being resides, and when we manipulate the fascia and ask for it to change, essentially we're changing the frequency of the individual. And when we change our frequency on an individual level, we're actually shifting the collective frequency as well that we all share. So this might sound a little esoteric for some people, but there is now hard science that proves what I'm talking about. We are 80% water, and we now understand that water has an intelligence. It's an intelligent substance that stores information. So when we think about water being conductive and water storing information, that's our somatic experience. We think of the word soma and its implications. This is what we're speaking to. So as we shift our frequency, whether it's through body work, acupuncture, or our own mental exercises and spiritual practices, we are changing the frequency of ourselves. We're therefore shifting the frequency of our family system. So therefore, everyone we're in relationship with is going to look at things differently. It's like wanting pancakes every morning for 20 years and then waking up and telling your husband you want eggs instead. That's going to change the frequency of breakfast that morning, right? Yeah. Very simplified example, but it is so simple. And we live in such a complicated world that we blow past these ideas. We don't even consider them necessarily. And if we can actually slow down and be present, be in the moment, we start to see the simplicity that still is here. It's just hidden with the complications that we allow in,
Yeah, I was just thinking before when you were speaking about this change happening in the family, because often the scenario is like we're speaking about how men can support the women, but when we're speaking in my experience. Yeah, that there's a truth in that, but there's also this aspect of when the woman, you know, is really stepping into herself, there is a reflection going on into the man. And then there's not like, it's not so much as the man supporting the woman, but there's like this whole new creation of like intertwined. Yeah, there, it's a yin and yang, you know, it's this like entwinedness becoming. And this is like my experience of being a mother and being a father, let's say, in a family as well. Because when you're becoming really aware of yourself and your story and your, you know, all your shit and all of this and that, there's like this the collective field changes, and so there's like more, I don't, it's hard for me to put into words, but there's this like field of collaboration and new ideas that develop, because there's a, yeah, there's something else going on, you know.
Yeah, there's you know, there's the Rumi quote, there is a beyond right and wrong, there is a field, and I will meet you there. Yeah. And you know, it speaks to this idea of, again, vulnerability and then acceptance. And I think that, you know, it's scary to be vulnerable because we feel like we're going to be judged, or we're not going to be accepted, or we're not going to be loved. And if we can trust the vulnerability, and hopefully there's acceptance in that, it creates a resonance. And that resonance, that frequency resonance, is what brings joy and happiness and understanding and health and all of the things that we all want for ourselves and our families.
Yeah. I just like to talk a bit about what we were just getting into, really, about like the family structure. So obviously I'm not a man, so I don't know what is going on internally in this growth, maturation, becoming a father. For me, it's been really like, it's the best way is just really calling it a maturation, in the sense of becoming aware of who I am and what I'm a carrier of, and et cetera and et cetera. Can you speak a little bit about this? You know, what is really happening within a father, becoming a father?
Well, that's a big question, and I would imagine that every father would answer it a little differently. And I think that the common themes that I have picked up on and seen are this, it's almost like there's a tug of war that begins to happen, because we have the external drive that society is cultivated throughout our life as men, of getting the job and the bank account or whatever it looks like. And the more intrinsic, I guess I'll say, idea of family vulnerabilities, emotional support that we were speaking of. And these are two polar opposite energies. Okay, so it's hard to move back and forth between them depending on where you stand in that to begin with. So I feel as if we have the, let's call him Father A, who is standing squarely in the masculine linear, working 60 hours a week and doing all the things that our culture has said, has defined as masculine, who then has to find his way to this place of softer edges and emotional understanding that his partner is looking for when baby is born, or maybe even before baby is born, but we're talking about birth, right? And is going to be much different than Father B, who already has a sense of balance within himself and has a different connection to his emotions. His journey is going to, I would say, it could even be skewed the other way, where he would much rather stay at home and support his family than have to go do this job anymore. And he might change the way life looks. And I think that changing things up and being open to that and being willing to obviously do the internal work, but also change the way we relate to the outside world, is it can be a struggle, because we're almost shifting our identity, so to speak, how we identify with our role as father or as man. And a lot of that struggle can come from the people around us, you know, our friends and family. And we see this with birth choices and both postpartum choices, when a grandparent is nervous about a home birth, but that's what the mother and father want to have happen. And, you know, we see these types of situations where the outside world really affects what we need to do. And I think the journey of fatherhood is about entering that in a different way. If that makes sense. It's about finding your own way. And getting in touch with who you really are.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how we become light beings instead of living in the dark.
Yeah, I think that journey of parenthood is part of that process. I mean, this whole idea of conception in and of itself is a miracle. So the process of caring for this individual is a miracle as well. There's a lot of potential for personal growth and change and understanding, you know.
Yeah, and also like through all these changes of the children and, you know, how they grow and mature. And I was, you know, we were really experiencing that because now my daughter is 4. And, you know, when they're tiny, they are glued to their mom in the most ways. But, you know, now she's a bit older and it's nice to see her energy is sort of like moving from me to her dad in the sense of like, okay, you know, so you're there, you can show me the world, you know, you can, yeah, the role of the father is more like in the front of her now, when she's a bit older, and how that also reflects his own process of stepping into other parts of his own fatherhood and growth as a man, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's fun. That's beautiful.
William, it's been really nice speaking with you. I feel really inspired and happy that there's people out there doing this work that you're doing.
Thank you so much for saying that. And I just wanted to mention that I have I've just released registration for the next course, Initiation to Fatherhood, and it starts on August 18th. And if anyone is interested in registering, they can go to my website, masculinemedicine.com.
Cool.
And I've also created a referral program for birth workers. So any birth workers out there who have men in their the families they work with and be interested in this work, there's opportunity to help connect them to my work. So, you know, it takes a village, and I want to help with appreciation there.
But how does that work exactly?
Thank you so much for having me today.
Because I was reading about that referral. Can you explain that? If I, as a birth worker, are working with men who would like to participate.
Yeah, absolutely. So they can go onto the website and register as in the referral program. And the way it works is they will receive a personalized promo code. So anytime they share Masculine Medicine's work and someone comes and registers for the course, that man will receive a discount on the course, and then the birth worker will receive a commission. And so all of that is tied into that special personalized promo code.
Okay.
So there's details on the website. There's just click on the yellow button at the top of the homepage, and you can read all about it.
That sounds nice, William. And you're also on Facebook and Instagram, right?
That's correct, yeah. And you can find links to those on the website as well.
Yeah, and I'll also add that to the show notes, William.
Thank you.
So as a closing, is there like anything that you feel like sharing? You know, most of our listeners are absolutely women, and you're actually the first male guest on the show. And which is really cool. And then, yeah, if there's anything you'd like to share to the women listening, and you know, anything from your heart or whatever.
Well, I just want to express my gratitude again for all of the energetic healing work that all of the women of the world are doing and have been doing. And, you know, as a man who's been supporting midwives and doulas for my entire adult life, and as a father, I really respect and admire how you have all come together and what you've all done. And I am grateful that you, whether you realize it or not, you're actually holding space for men to heal. And that's something that men, the masculine, did not. Do for them, and the fact that the feminine is now doing it for the masculine, it's just amazing, and I'm just very grateful for it. So thank you for everything you do.
Thank you, William. So everyone, I hope you enjoyed this episode with William. Share it with people you think will enjoy this wisdom. Share it with your men and families. And thank you again, William, for sharing this with us. You can find William online at www.masculinemedicine.com and also on Facebook and Instagram at Masculine Medicine. Make sure to check out William's upcoming course, Initiation into Fatherhood, that starts on the 18th of August. I will also put these in the show notes. Now, ever since I started doing one episode per month, I don't feel like as on top of them as I did when doing two episodes a month. I had planned the dates for coming interviews in advance, and now I'm sitting here doing the recording ready for this episode, remembering that, oops, I haven't scheduled for the next yet. I do, however, know who the next guest will be, and I will wait to announce it until we have scheduled the interview for you. I would like to say that after episode 13, I will have a few episodes honoring the role of the elder in our society. I have a few lovely guests that I'm deep diving into eldership with. I do believe you will enjoy meeting them both. A few days ago, I strained my St. John's wort oil and used it for the first time in my daily body oiling ritual. St. John's wort has called to me for some time, and finally this year I managed to harvest some. The smell and color are amazing and feel so good and calming on my body. When we've moved and settled, I hope to make body oils and sell them, so keep an eye up for that in the future. I have also started molding an idea of creating a weekend retreat for mothers and listeners of this podcast. A weekend to sit in circle, be in nature, for ceremony, sing together, eat, laugh, and cry together. If this ignites your curiosity, just let me know, and maybe it will happen this year or next year. I think it would be amazing. You can support my podcast with a monthly contribution at www.patreon.com/imother with as little as 5 euros per month. These contributions help me to keep the creative fire burning for this work. Thank you for your support, thank you for listening, and thank you for sharing. So the next episode will be out on the 11th of September around noon Oslo time, and I will see you then. Goodbye, friends.